looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good morning, everyone. It is Saturday, September the 4th, 2021. It is currently 10:11 a.m. Central Time, and I'm here in the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalle, Texas. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. If you're listening live, thank you again for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you're not listening to us live and you would like to contact me anytime, email me newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com. A lot of you are going, A lot of you are probably going to want to contact me after this broadcast to yell at me and to disagree with me and to tell me that I'm wrong and tell me that I'm working with Antichrist. There's probably going to be a lot of strong opinions, so you can email me at newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com. I apologize. My voice decided to take a time out right there. This is going to be controversial. I don't really want to even talk about this, but the Christian Post has posted an article about this subject, and so it falls into the Christian theological world. So I have to try to offer some thoughts, but it's a losing proposition to even discuss this, all right? Because we're going to be talking about COVID-19, vaccinations, vaccination mandates, Christian leaders speaking on the subject. There's going to be a lot of issues we're going to be talking about that I am sure you're going to get upset with me about. You're going to disagree, and you're going to want to just start emailing me very quickly. Just all I ask is just before you start, you know, tapping on your phone screen, just give it a second. Try to think about everything I'm going to say and try to listen to me carefully. Because sometimes I get emails and it's like, I think they missed the point completely. Like when the last couple of broadcasts I did in regard to anything related to COVID, immediately I was like, I don't think people got the point I was trying to make. Because they were trying to make a different argument than I was trying to make. So I just please listen to everything I have to say. You can still disagree and still email me, and I will do my very best to respond. Obviously, those on YouTube, you can light up, you know, you can light up the comment section, and I will do my very best to try to respond. But are you ready? We're going to be talking about COVID, and I want to start here. I want to start with this news story because I think this news story illustrates the whole problem with COVID right now. All right. Here is the article. Illinois man killed his half brother by shooting him in the head during a heated family argument over COVID-19 vaccines, police say. So an Illinois man has been killed his half brother. He took a gun, shot him in the head because they were having an argument over COVID-19 vaccines. People go absolutely insane when you start talking about COVID-19, COVID-19 vaccines, treatments you should use, treatments you shouldn't use, statistics. People will immediately disagree, and it's divided families, it's divided churches, it's sad how much division has come not only into the world during a pandemic when you think it would bring people together. Well, you know what? I take this back. Let me stop right there. That was our mistake. We should have known that a pandemic would not bring everyone together because as Christians, we believe in the total depravity of the human being. The human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. There's no way a pandemic was going to bring people together because the sinful nature was going to manifest itself. It always does in some way, shape, or form. You can find these isolated cases where you're like, look at how good people are. They come together and they help everyone. You may find a couple of isolated cases that from a human perspective, you see supposedly the goodness in humanity. But for every supposed isolated case you can bring up, I can bring you thousands of examples where you see the depravity of humanity over and over and over. And COVID, what we have seen is division selfishness, only a caring about the people caring about themselves, hatred. It's just been an absolute mess. And there we have, someone is dead today. Someone was shot in a head, their head, because of disagreeing and fighting over COVID-19 vaccines. So if the COVID-19 pandemic, if the virus doesn't kill us, we're going to end up killing ourselves over fighting and arguing and dividing over it. And that is the sad state of affairs. Now, I say that because I'm getting ready to say some things that once again is going to create hostility and anger at me for even mentioning it, because you're not even supposed to go there. But I have to talk about this because the situation, again, I just think is crazy. So we're going to work through this. So, again, that article comes to us from Yahoo News, from the Yahoo News Insider. It was published today at 6:51 a.m. And again, headline, Illinois man killed half-brother by shooting him in the head during heated family argument over COVID-19 vaccines, police say. And you can find that article if you are so inclined to read everything that took place. I just wanted to use it as an illustration of just how bad this situation has become, that you cannot have a meaningful discussion. All right, here we go. On September the 3rd, I think it was late last night, to be fair. I opened up I turned on my iPad, and I opened up the Christian Post website. Now, I check the Christian Post on a pretty regular, consistent basis. I also check out ChristianHeadlines.com, Christianity Today, anywhere I can get, you know, news of that about what's happening in the Christian world, what's going on in the church. I always try to keep up. Obviously, I do the Theology Central podcast, so I like to talk about things that would obviously relate to theology, or talk about things that may not necessarily directly relate to theology, but I try to make theology central to the conversation. So you can see why I check the Christian Post on a regular basis. So I open it up and I see these first two words I see is Danny Gokey. Or Gokey, I think is how you say his word. Danny Gokey. Now, if I remember correctly, Danny Gokey was on American Idol. He is a Christian singer, and he currently has the number one album on the Christian music charts. Now, I won't get into my whole discussion and frustration with the Christian music world. That's a whole separate issue, all right? So Danny Gokey, I think that's how you say his name. So I see it, and I'm like, okay, so Danny Gokey. So they're going to talk about the album. They're going to talk about that it's number one on the charts. Maybe they're going to talk about the theology in the album. Who knows, all right? But I just see Danny Gokey, and I think it was in a list of articles. So I clicked on the article, and here was the full headline. Danny Gokey opposes vaccination mandates, says the world faces birthing point for Mark of the Beast. And I'm like, here we go again. We have a Christian, in some case, a Christian leader, a Christian celebrity. Here's a Christian singer who's got the number one album. And now he's going to use his opportunity as a Christian celebrity, number one album, Danny Gokey, to tell everyone that he opposes vaccine mandates and that the world is facing the birthing point for the mark of the beast. So now we have vaccination mandates, mark of the beast, and the two are obviously here at least being implied that there's some cause, you know, some link there, right? There's some link, possible link. And whenever I see this, I just have to stop and go, what in the world is going on? So before we start working through this article, I'm going to try to make some very clear points here. Number one, I am absolutely baffled, perplexed, confused, frustrated by the fact that so many pastors, evangelical leaders, Christian singers, anyone who has a platform, they're a pastor, they're a Christian singer, they're a Christian celebrity, wanting to either stand behind a pulpit or sit in front of a microphone and try to give people some kind of medical advice. Now, they may always start by saying, well, I'm not a doctor, but We saw that the other day when I played the clip from John MacArthur standing behind the pulpit. I'm not a doctor, but basically the way you need to handle COVID is you just need to rely on natural immunity. You just need to you get COVID, you'll develop a natural immunity. That's what you should rely on. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I'm telling you how you should handle it. Someone sent me an email that I think Chris Rosebro from Fighting for the Faith was putting forth the same idea, natural immunity. Now, again, John MacArthur and Chris Rosebro, they have no degrees in anything dealing with the medical world. They're not doctors, nothing. So why is it that so many Christian leaders feel it necessary to offer some kind of medical advice and medical direction? Why do they feel it necessary to do that? If they hear someone talking about theology, I've heard Christians do this all the time. If some pastor will hear someone saying something crazy, like, well, you know, they have no theological training. You know, they don't have any theological understanding. Well, where did you get your medical training? Where did you get your medical understanding? Doing a couple of Google searches? Watching a couple of YouTube videos? So I'm just perplexed why those within the philological world, those within the evangelical world, feel it necessary to try to somehow direct their people in what to do medically. Hey, remember MacArthur? There is no pandemic. And then later we find out, well, wait a minute, I had COVID, my wife had COVID. Oh, and it ran through the church. All right, so wait a minute. Oh, and when you missed, obviously it appears from COVID, you had someone, I guess the announcements were that you were resting or preparing for the Shepherd's Conference. That's a little disingenuous, but at the same time, you had offered some direction about medicine, right? You offered, in a sense, you're making a claim about social distancing. You're making a claim about masks. Why is it that untrained people in the Christian world want to make statements about mask effectiveness or ineffectiveness? Social distancing effectiveness or ineffectiveness, vaccine effectiveness or ineffectiveness. Why is it that they feel like it's their job to put forth that information? Again, once again, the church should be preaching God's word, but we turn into medical experts, pseudo-medical experts, finding information from certain sources. Maybe the sources are legitimate. Maybe the sources are not. Maybe it's not even a fully peer-reviewed study, and then we cite that study that later the study is revoked or pulled down, and we don't come back and tell everyone. Why do Christians feel the need to run around playing doctor? Why? That is what perplexes me. I don't understand that. Even on radio programs and TV programs where they will offer some medical advice, they will basically try to tell you, we are not to offer any diagnoses or to any possible cure. Please seek, advice from a medical professional, because they don't want to be sued. They don't want to be sued. So we're not really making any actual medical claims. Well, but, we have this show with a bunch of doctors, but we have to put this warning there to ensure that we don't get sued. Well, okay, what is the legal responsibility of pastors standing in the pulpit making medical claims and giving medical advice? What happens when someone dies? Do you bear any responsibility at all? I just don't get why the Christian world feels it necessary to do this. I played clips from American Family Radio. Oh, for crying out loud. Now, that program, I think, may have been removed. I think it was called Focal Point, or maybe they removed it to a new time slot, because I believe it used to come on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I would hear it on either driving to the church on the way home. The claims oh my goodness. Absolutely. The mask is useless. Don't wear a mask. Social distance. I mean, basically going against everything the CDC, everything doctors were saying, American Family Radio, because Family Radio is different. American Family Radio was completely just like acting like that they were the medical gurus and the medical experts. And so I was supposed to listen to the guy on the Christian radio station, not listen to the medical professionals. Forget calling my doctor. No. Forget making an appointment with my doctor, because what does my doctor know? I mean, she's an idiot. I mean, she only went to medical school. She's an idiot. But what I need to listen to is some guy on Christian radio spouting forth supposed, well-documented medical advice. And now here, so what should I should listen to a Christian singer who's going to tell me something about vaccine mandates and somehow connected to the mark of the beast. I need to listen to a Christian singer. I just don't get why Christians feel it necessary. So number one, why do Christians feel like that they should be the ones running out there talking about these things? Should we not try to be very careful and stay in possibly our lane of expertise? Look, I have a degree in healthcare management. I am a certified medical coder, and I also am a certified medical biller. All right. Now, guess what? None of those come anywhere close to giving me the authority or the expertise to really talk authoritative about anything related to COVID and what you should and shouldn't do and to be offering any kind of medical advice. My most of my education is in religious education, theology, biblical studies. I think all of my degrees are either in religious education, theological studies, or biblical studies. That's where I spent my primary focus is on those areas. I guess Catholic theology is still a theology degree. So that's where I've spent all of my time. So why would I then stand here and go, okay, now listen, guys, or stand here, I'm sitting here. Why would I sit here or stand behind the pulpit? I'm looking up at the pulpit. Why would I stand behind the pulpit and say, okay, everyone, here's what you need to do. Here's the way, okay, you need to go out and, you know, go to the cattle feed store and get something that usually is used for getting rid of worms in a cow. Why would I say that? Now, what I would say is, if there's some studies out there and someone asked me, I would say, well, I've heard about these studies. You should probably consult a medical professional and seek their advice and not the advice of Susan, who's sitting at her kitchen table making a Facebook Live video. Seek medical, and you say, well, I found some medical studies online. Oh, did you? Okay. Were they peer-reviewed? Do you know anything about them? Well, this seems to be, okay, look, just because you think you have as someone who used to be in charge of the medical library for a hospital, bringing in the peer-reviewed studies in the medical journals, I know constantly that the doctors would look at and go, well, here's one study. And you would have a long discussion about how to understand the study, what they're, and I would always ask questions. So what are they saying here? What are they saying here? Because I know that, like, just for me to just go grab some things and start reading it, I may not have quite the knowledge and the expertise to truly interpret that correctly. But, you know, I just don't get it. Why are Christians running around doing this kind of thing? And now we have Danny Gokey, American Idol, Christian singer. He's going to offer his two cents about COVID and vaccines. So that's my first issue, is why are we not allowing maybe the experts to possibly guide us? I'm not saying that I'm not saying you trust everything blindly, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So number one, I don't get why Christian leaders are now wanting to be doctors, not in theology, but medical doctors, experts on pandemics, experts on how, you know, a virus spreads and what you should and shouldn't do to stop it. And again, it always comes down to this. The pastor making the claims are right and all of the experts are wrong. The people on Christian radio are right. All of the experts who've spent their lives in that field of study are wrong. People who are studying pandemics and the spread of pandemics before you even thought about the subject, they're wrong. But your pastor is right. The guy on the Christian radio is right. The guy on the Christian podcast is right. I just don't get it. I don't know why we keep doing this. I don't know why we keep doing it. So I have to at least raise the question of why. Number two. So number one, why are Christians continuing to speak up? Number two, this is my go-to. I know a lot of people get upset with me, but I'm going to continue to bring this up. Here's number two. I've got to mention this. Why is it that we may listen to our favorite Christian celebrity or pastor or whomever? We may get our information from source A, source B, source C, whatever our sources that we're citing. Why is it when everything goes wrong, the treatment didn't work that you tried, the essential oil didn't work, the grass that you ate didn't work, whatever crazy idea you're coming up with to treat it, why is it always that you're trying all of those because you don't trust the medical professions. You don't trust the pharmaceutical companies. You don't trust any of them. You don't trust any of them. But why is it that every single time when it goes drastically wrong and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Call 911. Bring in those EMTs, put me in that ambulance, and drive me to the hospital staffed by medical professionals that you would not listen to and then say, save me, save me. Why why are Christians running around trying to be doctors? And then why is it that we always end up, when everything goes wrong, running to the very medical profession, the very medical, you know, industrial complex that we question, throw shade at, don't trust, don't listen to? Why is it that it's them we run to when everything goes wrong? Why is it that you don't listen to them and then you, when it all goes wrong, you want to make sure that they get not only get you treated in the ER, that they get you a bed, that they get you take up a bed in the ICU. Well, wait a minute. You're the one saying all these people were idiots. You're the one saying they don't know what they're talking about. But they're the very ones you run to. All of the people who are anti-vax, anti-mask, anti-social distancing, this is all a hoax, it's all garbage. When they get sick with COVID, they're going to the very medical professions that professionals that they all called idiots. And then they're looking at them going, save me. Save me. Well, why do you want them to save you? They're all morons. If you can't trust them about medical advice in regards to masks, social distancing, or vaccine, why do you run to them when it goes, stay at home and treat yourself? Hop on Google. Go to those people that you were listening to on YouTube and say, hey, I don't know what to do. I can't. Can you help me? Can you? I doubt you can even find a phone number to call them. And I'm pretty sure they're not going to show up at your house. And I'm pretty sure they're not going to show up at your house and hook you up to a ventilator. So why is it that Christians want to play doctor, and why is it that the people who won't listen to the medical community run to the very medical community that they shunned, the very medical community that they said were stupid, to help them? I'm just constantly baffled by that. It's like, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not going to get my physical. I'm not going to do any of the preventive health measures that they say, you know, doing your cholesterol test this often and doing this and, you know, a colonoscopy, all of the different things that you're supposed to do, right? You know, depending on your age, you know, if you do your annual physical, there's these things. I'm not going to do any of that. And then when it all goes wrong, where do they end up? There they are at the very hospital. There they are in the ICU bed. Well, wait, why? You shunned all of their, you know, their modern day witchcraft, all that modern day science stuff. I don't believe in any of that stuff. That's all nonsense. I get my healthcare information from, you know, a Facebook group. You know, that's where okay. So then go to the Facebook group to treat you. Go to the Facebook group to help you. Go to the Facebook group to save your life. I'm not going to listen to modern day medicine. I'm going to use whatever, alternative medicine idea. And then when the alternative medicine idea don't work, where do you end up? Back at the doctor. I don't understand that. So there's got to be a balance there. Like, why are Christians out there playing doctor? And why is it that when it all, you on one hand, you shun this whole community, and then you run to them when it goes wrong? That's got to be a question that's got to be asked. And a lot of people in the medical world have been asking this question throughout the pandemic. So, okay, so I'm an idiot. You didn't listen to me. Now you're here wanting me to save your life. Well, I'm too much of an idiot. So why should I save your life? I mean, now I've heard doctors raise these questions. Like, you know, why should I have to do this? Why? Why should I give you the ICU bed when you didn't listen to any directions? Why should you get the ICU bed? Now, those questions have been asked. Obviously, no one has imposed any policy because that would go against the medical profession. We don't judge the person. You just try to treat them. But there's got to be a part of you that's just like, what in the world am I doing? What? Why am I fighting this pandemic when nobody listens? And then when it goes wrong, I'm just baffled by that. I'm baffled by that. All right. So number one, why are Christians running around trying to give all of the information? Number two, why is it that when it all goes wrong, you run to the very medical professions that you disagree with? And number three, this is a very important issue. And one listener, I think two listeners emailed me in regards to this. What is the issue right now? I think there's a, you want to talk about a pandemic. There's the COVID-19 pandemic, but I think there's another pandemic that's swept across the world. And on one hand, I celebrate this. On the other hand, I'm worried about it because there's got to be a balance. And it's this. We've reached a point in society where no one trusts anything. People don't trust the police. People don't trust politicians. People don't trust the church. People don't trust doctors. People don't trust experts who have studied pandemics their whole life. We don't trust anything. There's this major pandemic of distrust. Now, on one hand, I like that because one of my philosophies in life was question everything. So I question. So I do like the questioning. But at some point, you have to realize you can take this so far where you end up that the only person who's an expert on everything is you. In other words, you can take the philosophy of question everything to such a level that then you're like, I've heard it. I don't trust doctors. I don't trust the hospitals because they're in it for money. I don't trust the pharmaceutical companies. I don't trust the vaccine companies. But in every situation, they then will tell you what they think. And you want to ask, well, how did you come to that conclusion? Where did you get that information? You had to trust something. So I think it's come down to that the only thing I trust is what I trust. So really the only thing you trust is yourself. But from a theological perspective, is that even the best course of action? Because my Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Can I even trust myself? But it's really come down to everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. I don't trust them. I'm not going to listen to them. I don't trust them. I'm not going to do that. I don't trust them, but I trust me. I trust the information I got from some third party. Now, again, so there's this mistrust. But what's crazy is the people you don't trust, and especially when it comes to COVID, are going to be the very people you run to save your life if it all goes horribly wrong. And forget COVID. If you have a heart attack, if you have a stroke, if you're in a car accident, I can go through a million issues where you're going to be running to the very medical professional that you say you don't trust. And they're going to be hooking you up to an IV, possibly putting all kinds of medications into your body. Well, wait a minute. Those are created by the pharmaceutical companies. You don't trust them. Why don't you just have written down, do not render any medical aid to me if you find me unconscious or bleeding to death. I don't want any medical aid because I don't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody. Call this YouTube video channel. They'll come and rescue me. But no, you'll be like, hook me up to anything, inject me with anything, save my life. So we've got this weird, like, we distrust everything, but it's interesting who we will trust. Even in this article here where Danny Gokey is giving his opinions here, immediately in the comments, I think the first comment, I believe everything he says. So you're going to trust Danny Gokey to make your decisions about vaccines and COVID? Are you out of your mind? You're going to trust John MacArthur? You're going to trust Chris Rosebro? Now, by all means, listen to what MacArthur has to say about theology and the Bible. By all means, listen to Chris Rosebro, what he has to say about the Bible and theology. I respect both of them greatly from their biblical and theological knowledge. But I'm not going to listen to them to have anything to tell me what to do about COVID. Well, just natural immunity. That's the way to go. That's the way to go. And how do I develop this natural immunity? So you're telling me to go out and get COVID so that I can develop the natural immunity, that I'll be better off? That, like, what are you talking about? I just saw an article I can't remember where it was at. It may have been in the local area. Someone who was around 51, 52 just died of COVID. And I'm like, well, I'm right there. I'm right there and I can't get the vaccine. So should I risk it? You know, what are you telling me to do? Like, it's just crazy trying to listen to these non-medical people tell me what to do. You know what I'm going to do? And here's what I'm going to tell everyone to do. I know you may not trust the medical establishment. And you know what? They've done things that gives us reason to distrust them. I completely agree. I do agree that many times it's profit over patient care. Completely agree. Sometimes I do believe that in American medicine, that it's a pill and a shot for everything. I do agree that there's some issues. There's no problem with that. But should you not at least consider in your supposed deep, serious research into the medical world, where you're sitting there reading, you know, serious medical journals and peer-reviewed studies, should you not at least consider, while you're watching your YouTube videos and watching Susan at her kitchen table tell you what to, you know, rub on yourself, while you're listening to all of them, don't you think it would be very important, prudent, to go consult with an actual medical professional and talk to your doctor, who hopefully has access to your medical history and your medical records and has some idea of what maybe could or couldn't work? Do you think that's too far? Do you think it is wrong to consult them, at least to add that to all of the other things that you're doing? By all means, do all the other things you want to do, but should you not consult that? And so there's a level of mistrust. This is what I want to say here. There's a level of mistrust that leads you as an island on an island all to yourself, where you're doing what is right in your own eyes. You're going to trust someone about this. You're going to trust someone. You're either trusting your doctor or you're trusting information you found on the internet with your untrained understanding of it. Don't you find that problematic? So number one, why are Christians all of a sudden acting like the experts? Why? Number two, why is it when everything goes wrong, we run to the very medical community that we don't listen to? And number three, we've got to think this, you know, not trusting everything. We've got to at least try to consider that puts us in a situation where the only thing we trust is ourselves, or we are trusting our ability to interpret information that maybe we have the skills to do so, maybe we don't have the skills to do so. Look, I've read plenty of medical journals since I was the one, you know, maintaining the medical library, and sometimes I would look at them and like, I don't have a clue what this is saying. And so I would take it and go to one of the doctors and say, hey, can you help me understand this? Oh, yeah, sure. Give me a few minutes. And then they're like, okay, so I think what they're saying is this and this and this. There is some, and then they would give me all of this additional information that's not even found in the study. Well, there was a study here. There was a study here. When I was in medical school, we learned this, but I'm starting to question that. In my practice, I've seen this. I've treated, you know, 300 patients with this, and this is what I have seen. And then you start finding out, oh, now I've got experience. I'm getting it. Now all of a sudden it makes more sense. But someone will hop on the internet. Look what it says. Look what it says. And there's been times I've had people do that, and I'll take it to a medical doctor, and they'll laugh at me going, they said what about that? They're like, do you realize they don't have a clue what they're talking about? Well, I assume they didn't have a clue what they're talking about. That's why I brought it to you. I've done that multiple times with things. I'll take it to it. And when, especially when I worked in the hospital, had access to the doctors all the time, I would do that all the time. Hey, someone said this. Yeah. Okay. Well, when they go to medical school, you know, just, you know, bring them in and you know, we'll find out how smart they really are. It's just like, it's crazy. So why are Christians acting like doctors? Why is it that when it all goes wrong, we run to the very medical community that we say are idiots? And number three, we've got to take this distrusting and questioning everything. We've got to at least balance it out with some being rational, because you'll reach a level, you'll reach a point where basically you're doing what is right in your own eyes. You are the authority. You're now the medical expert. You're now the expert about pandemics. You're now the expert on vaccines. You're now the expert on the spread of a virus. And it's like, you've got to be careful that you're not setting yourself up to be the expert. And you've got to be careful who you're sharing your supposed expertise with. So those are some major concerns I have right there. All right. Those are some major concerns. I don't get the Christian thing. I don't get it. I don't get the, hey, I'm going to run to the very people who I are disagreeing with. And number three, distrust until ultimately, you know, and I've gotten those emails where like, I distrust this and I distrust this and I distrust this. However, I trust this, and this. Oh, but based off what? And it's always, that means you do trust something. See, you do trust something based off your perception. You sure? I perceive all of them to be greedy, money over people, but I trust these sources. Well, maybe those other sources aren't as greedy, but does that mean they're trustworthy? Does that mean they have the expertise to make the right kind of, to give you the right kind of information? I get really bothered by this. But let's go through this article just quickly, because I think I've already kind of established what I wanted to talk about. But here we go. Christian singer Danny Gokey expressed his opposition to vaccine mandates in the United States and issued a call for unity, warning that Satan is behind the division the pandemic has caused. So he wants unity, but he doesn't want unity with the vaccine mandates. He wants unity in opposition to the vaccine mandates. However, Satan is the one behind the division. Now, here we are. We're blaming Satan again. Once again, if you just listened to the last live broadcast, here we are. We're going to blame Satan for everything. Satan gets blamed for everything. Maybe part of the reasons for the division is our own depravity, right? But again, we never want to look there first. So I just find it interesting. He's standing in opposition to vaccine mandates. And he calls for unity, but not unity with the vaccine mandates. Obviously, unity in opposition to the vaccine mandates. That's the only thing that way this would make sense. Satan is behind the division the pandemic has caused. Satan is behind the division. So Satan, I guess, is the one pushing for the vaccine mandates. And it's the Christians who are standing in opposition to the vaccine mandates. We should be unified. So we should be unified in our opposition to vaccine mandates. Now, let's discuss this. I understand that there are real, legitimate concerns, anxiety, and fear over the COVID vaccines. Now, sometimes that legitimate concern is maybe based off illegitimate information, misinformation, something they read on the internet, something they got from questionable sources. But I can understand. I'll just go through a couple of my own issues. I'm not a big fan of how many vaccines. When you go through the vaccine schedule, like, okay, a child is this old that are to get this vaccine, this vaccine, this vaccine. When a child is this old, they get this vaccine. Sometimes I'm worried about how many vaccines are given maybe at one time or in a short span of time. So I have my concerns about that. I don't have any justifiable reason necessarily for that concern, but it just seems that's a lot of stuff getting put into a child, right? So I do have my concerns, but there are medical reasons, obviously, that they've developed this schedule and this is the way it works. We can get into that whole discussion. I always have to say this because I'll get some email with someone making some smart aleck claim because they don't know anything about me. Make it very clear. I sit here today as someone who has experienced the absolute worst outcome of a vaccine that you can possibly imagine other than death. All right. Well, okay. At least from a personal perspective, there's people who've suffered far greater than me, but I'm saying from a personal perspective. So let me restate that so it's accurate. That's a little hyperbolic. It's not hyperbolic from the way I feel, but it's hyperbolic in not being completely accurate. I have suffered horribly at the expense of a vaccine. All right. January 2003, the United States military, I'm supposed to go to an undisclosed location somewhere in Iraq to set up a decontamination center because we were told that they have weapons of mass destruction. All right. And one of the things I have to do is I have to get the anthrax vaccine. I don't want to get the anthrax vaccine. I'm worried about getting the anthrax vaccine, but they're like, stop being a baby. Stop whining about it. You got to go. 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, I wait to the very last moment because they've already threatened me. I've got no choice. I go get the vaccine. All right. I walk away going, wow, well, that didn't even hurt. Everyone talked about how it hurt. That didn't do anything. I'm patting my arm. I'm like, okay, well, I guess maybe I made a big deal out of anything. That evening, we were out. I think me and my wife were doing our taxes. I can't remember where we were, but all of a sudden I was like, whoa, I don't feel right. This something's not good. But I didn't want to go to the ER to whine and complain because I didn't want to sound like that. I'm complaining about the anthrax vaccine. I was like, this doesn't feel good. So I went home. I think I even went to bed. I don't know. It was just everything went horribly wrong. And then Saturday, it got worse. Sunday, I could barely speak in like complete sentences. It was not good. Monday morning, I woke up. When I was in the shower, I literally thought I was going to die. I made it to the hospital, and I thought about walking in and right through the front doors to the left where the bathrooms. And I thought I was going to walk in and just pull the alarm. There in the stall, the medical alarm, having a medical emergency, because I didn't think I could make it in. But I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to cause a scene. So I made it. We had a meeting in the record section. So I made it into the record section, and there was a stool that's there at the front desk, the counter where people would come up to, you know, to get their medical records or whatever the case may be, whatever issues they have with medical records. And I'm sitting there on the stool, and someone starts talking to me, and it sounds like this. And all of a sudden this black cloud comes, boom, hits me, boom, I go down. I don't have any memory. According to everyone there, I had a massive seizure. They called a code blue. They thought I was dead. Flight surgeon gets called in. Next thing you know, I'm transported by ambulance. I end up in the hospital. I don't know what's going on. And that began the never-ending story of seizure after seizure, neurological issue after neurological issue, all related to the anthrax vaccine. So I know that there are legitimate concerns about the vaccines. I completely understand that, because no, I don't care how safe a vaccine is, there will always be that small, small number of people who will have a negative reaction and can possibly die as a result. Not only death, suffer all kinds of other possible side effects. So I am very aware of the dangers of a vaccine. But at the same time, we cannot hype the danger of the vaccine while downplaying the danger of COVID, which globally has killed over 4 million people. I think in the United States, we're at 700,000, maybe 800,000. I don't know where we are currently on the death chart in the United States of America, but we will probably be at a million before this year is over of people who have died. Now, when you have 4 million people who have died globally from a pandemic, you have to understand that whatever statistics you pull up about the possible problems with COVID, and I know that there's a lot of misrepresentation because anyone can report a negative side effect. Those negative side effects have to be investigated before we can determine if it was true or not true. So just looking at how many was reported doesn't tell you anything. All right. But so because I've seen a lot of people playing games, we have to look at that and then compare that to how many people have died with COVID. Now, I understand you'll say, well, the people who died with COVID had comorbidity. They were at a certain age. I understand all of the issues. I'm just saying that we have to consider that carefully. So I understand the fear and concern. And you know what? You should be able to express that fear and concern. What I would say, and I know that the vaccine mandates are going to be very controversial if they go. You know, my concern is once they get FDA approved, we're going to see more and more vaccine mandates. The vaccine mandates may not come down from the federal government, but they may work this way. Oh, you want to come to work today? You got to get a vaccine. We're going to require you get that vaccine to be employed here. Oh, you want to fly? You're going to have a vaccine. Oh, you want to come to this concert? Now, you can't blame the federal government for that, because those are going to be private, like, businesses making that as a determination. You want to use our service? You want to do this? Or you want to work here? Now, and people may push back on those there's going to be a big fight. I understand that. All I was saying, this is what I would say. Before you worry about the vaccine mandate, at least talk to your doctor about the pros, the cons, the dangers of the vaccine, and then get their informed medical decision. And at least consider their opinion. Because remember, if everything goes wrong, who are you going to run to? To your doctor to save your life. So they should at least be able to be considered in what they have to say. The vaccine mandates. Oh, look, I'm going to be in a bad situation because I can't get it. When I went to my doctor the other day and we were talking about the COVID vaccine, she just laughed and she's like, well, you're not getting it. No way, no how. Okay. So you're just out of luck. Okay. You can't get it. So am I going to get some kind of medical excuse so that if there are places which require a vaccine, I'm excused? How is that going to work for me? Right? I don't know. That puts me – and I understand people who have concerns, just make sure, here's what I would say. Whatever concerns you have about the vaccine, make sure they're based on real information, not fraudulent information, not conspiratorial information, all right? Make sure it's factual, and then you're going to have to make the best decision you can, and you may have to live with some negative consequences, all right? I'm not going to say I support vaccine mandates or don't support vaccine mandates, because those are decisions I'm trying to trust are being made with the great, with the amount of good as possible. And let me just remind you, when it comes to mandates, a lot of people scream and yell about vaccine mandates. Well, that's crazy. That's crazy. Let's just remember all of the mandates that have been put in place. When I get done here in a minute and I pack up, or whenever I'm done, and I go get in my car, guess what? First, I have to be licensed to drive the car. Second, my car has to be inspected, because if the inspection runs out, I can get a ticket. Oh, and third, I have to wear a seatbelt in a car that I'm paying for, and a car that I'm paying for the insurance. I have to wear a seatbelt. Even though if something goes wrong, in other words, I don't have a seatbelt, the worst I can do is injure myself. I'm no threat or danger to anyone else by not wearing a seatbelt. I have to put on a seatbelt or I can get a ticket. However, the motorcycle flying past me on the highway doesn't have to have a seatbelt. All right. Here we go. Here's someone. And I'm glad people are offering their comments here, because I know I'm offering a lot of thoughts. This is what someone has said. I personally want to see numbers on second time infections that result in hospitalizations. They're quick to point out that most of the hospitalizations are unvaxxed people. Would like to know how many have had COVID antibodies and then caught it again and were hospitalized. It would really weigh in on my decision. That's good. Now, for example, and I think, and you, Will, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think what he's saying is this. He would like to see a study that compares someone who has COVID, right? Now they have natural antibodies. That's the discussion, all right? And you have natural antibodies. How many of those, if they get COVID a second time, end up in the hospital? Or are they protected from hospitalizations with natural antibodies that built up because of having COVID? What is their hospitalization rate compared to those who get the vaccine and then get COVID? In other words, does the antibodies protect you just as much as the vaccine from hospitalizations? If they're equal, then okay. Now, I don't know what kind of studies have been done. I think that's a very good question. One, again, that would require, I would ask, I mean, if you have a primary care physician, set up an appointment and talk to your doctor about that. At least get the doctor's opinion. Because, again, if everything goes wrong, that's the doctor you're going to be relying on to save your life or your family's life. That's the doctor, you know, your primary care physician is the one. I joke with my doctor all the time. You're the one who's going to have to keep me alive. From a human perspective, they're the one, you know, if something goes wrong, they're the ones that are going to have to keep me alive. So I'm trusting you. You're my primary care physician. I'm trusting you. Okay? My doctor's an internal medicine specialist. That's the doctor I go to. And so that's who I trust. I trust her. That's to the best of my ability. Do I think she's perfect? No. Can she make mistakes? Absolutely. I've seen horrible mistakes happen in the medical world. So, but those are good questions. So I just think with the vaccine mandates, you're going to have to do. I don't know where it's going to go, but as I was saying, just when we consider mandates, I just want to just remind you of all the different mandates. So that just driving in a car, there's a mandate. Guess what? Go somewhere right now and try to pull out a cigarette and smoke. Try that. They banned smoking in pretty much every building on the face of the earth. Why? For public health reasons. You're like, well, but if I want cancer, because we determined that you smoking didn't just impact you, secondhand smoke was impacting other people, so you can't smoke around anybody else. I remember when I first started working in the hospital in 1990 that people were smoking literally at their desk, okay, in certain parts of the hospital, not obviously where patient care was going on. And I was like, what in the world? That's how much things have changed. Why did they change? Understanding of the dangers of secondhand smoke, and people were like, stop it, ban it, stop it, ban it. So those are, again, In an elementary classroom, we have young children. If it's established that, say, someone in that classroom has a nut allergy, right? Where that if they eat peanuts or any kind of nuts, they could be in very serious danger and possibly die. In many cases, a note will be sent out to all of the parents saying, hey, do not allow your child to bring anything into this classroom that contains nuts. Why? They're making a mandate of what you can and cannot do for the greater health of people around them. That's how come there's been vaccine, in a sense, mandates for you've got to have these vaccines to enroll in a public school. You've got to have these vaccines to go to this university. You've got to have this. There's been all kinds of those things established throughout history in order to try to prevent the spread of disease and for public health. So the vaccine mandate, I know it's going to be controversial. I know. I know I'm saying it like it's a done deal. We've got another variant that's has shown up in Los Angeles of COVID. The experts are just now starting to study the variant. I don't know how dangerous it's going to be. I don't know how bad it's going to be, but let's say it's worse than Delta, the Delta variant. Let's say it goes after younger people. And let's say it has a higher death rate among people who don't even have a comorbidity. Let's say hospital, it creates a greater number of people going to the hospital. When you overwhelm the healthcare system and you start having more and more people die, the mandate's coming. And we're going to have to just deal with that. Now, a lot of people want a religious exemption. A lot of churches are handing them out. I would have to have some serious theological grounds for giving someone a vaccine exemption. I would have to have some serious theological reason to do so, right? I'd have to. Now, I do believe that charismatic churches who refuse health care because they believe healing is guaranteed, in other words, they don't go to the doctor for anything, they deserve a vaccine exemption because they're being consistent. Hey, I believe God's going to heal me. I don't need to go to the doctor. They do so. Oh, I know. Yes. Someone just said the mandates could very well mean you've seen your last live WWE event. Yes. It could greatly hinder my ability to go to wrestling events unless people with a medical exemption are allowed in. But there's a good chance I won't be there. Depending on how the company decides to work things, there's a chance I would not be allowed in. I don't like that. But again, when it comes to a public health crisis, it's not about the individual. It's supposed to be about the public. So, yeah, that's another thing. So let's go on. I'm already at 52 minutes. So let's go here with Danny Gokey and everything he says here. So Christian singer Danny Gokey expressed his opposition to vaccine mandates in the United States and issued a call for unity, warning that Satan is behind the division the pandemic has caused. Gokey, whose latest album, Jesus People, is currently number one on the Christian charts, he clarified on August the 28th Twitter thread that he's not against vaccinations, but also does not believe that the U.S. citizen should be forced by an entity to receive the COVID-19 vaccination. All right, so he clarified a little bit, but he's still against the mandate. If you don't want the vaccine, you shouldn't have to, Gokey, who is vaccinated, tweeted. It's the safety of this vaccine and the measures used to enforce it that I am concerned about. Is it a cure? Technically, no. It's being treated like one. Now, here's where he jumps in and starts throwing in all of his medical opinions here a little bit. Again, I can understand being concerned. I can understand some of the, I'm not saying that everything he's saying here is wrong. I'm saying that you got to just be careful. You don't want people following your medical advice. You want to tell people seek the instructions of the medical professionals. Because guess what? When you get sick, Danny Gokey is not showing up at your house to fix you. Let's just make sure we understand that. He highlighted the importance of civil dialogue regarding issues like vaccines, lamenting the fact that conversations are no longer a thing anymore. Now, I do agree we need civil dialogue. I do agree we have to, there's got to be some room for disagreement. But my thing is, don't disagree with me. Disagree with your doctor. Go fight with your doctor. I'm saying trust the medical experts to the best of your ability, by all means continuing doing research and checking and trying to find answers. But I mean, I'll give you an example. My daughter, she has a connective tissue disorder, right? It's a rare disease, and it causes great pain and causes lots and lots of problems. Okay, there was a period when she was a teenager that she basically was paralyzed. She could not walk. Doctors could not figure out what was wrong. They could not. Nobody could figure out what was wrong. To this day, they couldn't. Everything they tried, nothing was working. She couldn't walk. My wife was a nervous wreck. It was bad. We didn't know what to do. It was a horrible, horrible situation. It was just bad. Well, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. The medical world didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. So my wife said, well, let's look into anything and everything that could possibly work. As long as it's not dangerous, let's try it. Now, I'm all for that. Again, one of the doctors I worked with, because I kept having seizures and the seizure medication wasn't working, he's like, you know what? There's been some talk that I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. It was like a alternative means some kind of oil, I don't remember what it was, that it had proven possibly beneficial. Well, there's no danger in trying it. So by all means, with your medical professional, also you can try other things. So what did we do? We didn't know what to do. We really didn't know what to do. So my wife got my daughter an acupuncture appointment. Now, remember, my daughter came into the building to get the acupuncture in a wheelchair because she couldn't walk. She got the acupuncture. She walked out of the building. She went in a wheelchair. She walked out without the wheelchair. And to this day, my daughter's walking, and she now works for American Airlines. She goes all over the world. She can walk fine. Like, there you go. So by all means, I understand that the medical profession is not always right. And we want to check everything. So by all means, check everything. But at the same time, we got to make sure we are listening and hearing what they have to say while we're doing our we've got to be advocates for our own health care at the same time. I completely agree. All right. And there's going to be disagreements on a lot of these issues. I've got to hurry. I have 56 minutes. He says the only topic discussed is COVID and the only acceptable thought is vaccination. That's dangerous, very dangerous, he wrote. Now, again, I agree that in some cases the only discussion is vaccine. And as we'll ask some questions, we should ask, there should be a broader conversation than just vaccines. I agree. Now, at the same time, we can use that as an excuse like, well, nobody should get a vaccine until we look at all of the other options. In the meantime, people are dying and the Delta variant is spreading again right here in the local area. We're at level 6. That's an emergency level. Our hospital is being overwhelmed. It's spreading crazy. 20% of all new cases are children. Right? And we're only, the second week into the school year here in Texas? It's not good. It's not good. We've already had multiple classes closing down. It's a bad situation in the local area. So right now, the best, according to the medical professionals, the best course of action is vaccination. I understand that. I also understand that, sadly, that can sometimes limit the conversation and discussion about all the other options. Now, Gokey said that if postings like his raise concerns, then it shows that we have a society that would rather be lullabied to sleep with lies rather than be told the truth, which always brings freedom. Now, see, that's amazing. Now, see, this is where it goes too far. So who's lying? See, that's almost implying that if I post something like this and it causes controversy, it's because society wants to be lullabied to sleep with lies. What are the lies, Danny? Who's lying? Danny Gokey knows now who's lying. So is it the pharmaceutical company is lying? Is it the people who made the vaccine? Is it the hospital? Is it the doctor? Who's being lullabied to sleep by what lies? Danny Gokey obviously isn't. He's awake. He's not being lullabied to sleep. He's speaking truth. So Danny Gokey has the truth. Everyone else is a liar. See how where this ends up? Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. Everyone is the expert. That is my concern about the whole COVID situation. Now, yes, I agree with Danny that we do need to be able to have civil dialogue and be able to ask very important questions. And check everything we can and try and I want the doctor, you know what? I want the doctor to have the freedom to try anything he thinks will help save and protect life. Now, I think he has to do so with medical consent, informed medical consent. Hey, You know, look, you got COVID and you're getting worse and worse and worse. And I do not want you to be put on a ventilator, because when you end up on a ventilator, that's usually where your chances of survival decreases dramatically. Earlier on, they were putting people on ventilators, I think, too soon. And I think they finally realized that because it was a novel coronavirus. They had to figure out a lot of things. But if the doctor wants to try, is it ivermectin, which is the cow dewormer? If they want to use that, which I know someone who was prescribed ivermectin and it didn't work out very well for them. So, but I don't care what he wants to try. Try anything. Hydroxychloroquine. Try anything and everything. I want the doctor to be able to do so, have that freedom with informed medical consent. Hey, this is unproven. The CDC doesn't approve this, but I think we should try it. I want the doctor to have that freedom. But I want it to be done with an informed medical consent, and I want people to check with the doctor before they come up with some crazy idea, right? That's all I'm saying. So I don't like the idea like, okay, everyone out there, they believe the lies, but we have the truth. So is that implying that anyone who believes in the vaccine mandates are liars, and the people who are opposed to vaccine mandates have the truth? Again, I've already expressed to you how many different mandates there are. Own a business. How many mandates? You've got the public health inspectors who will come in with all kinds of mandates. You have to clean this. You have to do this. You have to do that. How many mandates there are? You have to have two exits in a building. They have to be identified with an exit sign. You need a fire extinguisher. All of these codes for electricity. There's so many mandates. We are covered in a world of mandates of all kinds. Why? In order to protect. Building mandates, building codes, mandates. Why? To protect people. You know, the food, inspecting our food and meat industry. Why are there all kinds of mandates of what can and can't be done? To protect people. So I just don't think you got to be careful. You start saying everyone else is believing a lie. He goes on. My sister. Now here I've heard this so many times. All of this secondhand information that says something. You know, I know someone who works in a hospital. I know someone. That is the go-to for everything. But this is what he says. Danny Goki. My sister works in the medical field and is losing her job. She is also seeing horrible side effects of people who have had horrible reactions to the vaccine. I believe it will eventually be mandated. Now, so supposedly, I guess what's being implied here is the sister is losing his job because her sister works in the medical world. His sister works in the medical world. And I'm assuming that they're saying she has to get the vaccine and she's refusing. So she's losing her job. Well, I've worked in the medical world. That's the flu vaccine is usually mandated. The flu vaccine was mandated for us in the military. They're like, you have to get it. And they kept a record. And if you didn't, they would literally come over the overhead in the hospital going, Sergeant or Airman so-and-so, please report to immunizations to get your flu vaccine because you're last on the list. Okay. Now, after everything went wrong with mine, I was not allowed to get the flu vaccine. And I didn't want to get the flu vaccine. Not because I thought it was going to kill me, just thought it was ineffective because the flu vaccine is always based off last year's flu strain, not this year. So therefore, it's just a gamble whether it's going to work or not work. We could get into a whole discussion there. But and he says that she has seen the horrible side effects of people who have had horrible reactions to this vaccine. Okay, again, he's just throwing that out there. Now, that creates concern and fear in the people who hear what Danny Goki has to say. How about saying this? Check with your doctor about possible negative side effects to the, anthrax vaccine, to the COVID vaccine, and what precautions you can and can't take, and what you need to look out for, and then get the most informed information that you can. But that's not what we have. We don't have anyone telling you to go see the experts. He goes on to say, the Christian artist, Danny Goki, said that he believes the vaccine will eventually be required, and a move, he warned, will lead to an even greater and more diabolical plan. Okay, the mandate's going to lead to a more diabolical plan. It's all a part of a greater plot. In his ebook, they placed an ad right here in the middle here. I'm like, wait, he wrote an ebook. I'm like, what is going on? Okay. They didn't separate this ad here. All right, there's three reasons a seminary education might be right for you, and then there's an ebook, but they don't break this down very well. All right, then now here is where the article begins back with Danny Gokey. I know many people who don't want it. Now saying that they're going to get I know many people who don't want it. Now saying that they're going to get it so that they don't lose their job. That is coercion, he stressed. Coercion, he stressed. Unfortunately, I do believe it will eventually be mandated. That's the end goal and will lead to an even greater and more diabolical plan. Now, again, coercion, believing it's coercion, there have been all kinds of mandates about certain things you have to have to get a job and to go to school. There's been that, those kinds of things have happened in the past. Gokey, who has canceled his shows in 2020 along with many artists due to the global pandemic, revealed that he does not want to have to stop doing concerts again because popular opinion grips our society and convinces people that they're only safe if we will all get the vaccine. He wrote that he will be deemed a super spreader by doing shows. Well, you'll be deemed a super spreader if you do a show, and then as a result of your show, 100 people end up with COVID. Well, then you would be a super spreader. You can't get mad about that. Now, if you have a concert and no one gets it, then if someone calls you a super spreader, then you can argue. The facts will either prove it or disprove it. Research proves, now this is what he says. Now, once again, here's Danny Gokey. Remember, Danny Gokey, the medical expert, this is what he says. Research proves that idea is incorrect. Yet I'm seeing concerts being canceled, and it makes me wonder if mine are next, the 41-year-old noted. So according to him, research proves that concerts are not super spreaders, I guess. And I bet you he probably has some research, and I would like to know about other research and how well was your research peer-reviewed. And like I could ask a million questions. The weird thing about this is that the COVID vaccine does not prevent transmission. CDC COVID vaccines won't stop transmission. Fully vaccinated can still get spread Delta strand. It's especially designed in that way. Don't believe me. Research it for yourself. Again, he's going to start throwing out. This is, again, I don't get why Christian people want to do this. Why do you want to just throw out all of this stuff? How about just saying, please check with your medical professional. Do your own research, but check with a medical professional. As a child, the father of four said he often wondered about the verse in Revelation that mentions that in the last day, people will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. But now I see it will be accomplished through a crisis that will make people think that they are not safe unless they get it. And many will think that those who don't have the mark are very dangerous to society. Sound familiar, he wrote. It's already happening in some areas of our country and the world, but it starts suddenly and has a birthing point. So again, now he's going to connect this to Revelation, the mark of the beast, which I've seen so many Christians run to. The pandemic and the division it has caused indicates society is at a birthing point of the mark of the beast, Gokey said. You know how many times we have been told that? Hey, this is going to be the mark of the beast. It's going to be the mark of the beast. I heard back credit cards were going to be the mark of the beast, and social security numbers were going to be the mark of the beast. And I've heard everything is going to be the mark of the beast. Everything. And a lot of people say, you know, I've heard Christians say this, that the vaccine is going to put a microchip in your body so that they can track you. I don't know if you know this, but you're holding a cell phone. You have a tracking device in your hand. Okay. So, all right. Okay. If you have an Apple phone, you can literally say, where is the phone? Like if you have your family, they all have iPhones. You can open up an app, click on it, and it will show you where every person is at who has an iPhone. You're like, oh, where's my wife? There's my daughter. So the phones already can be tracked. And when they ping off the cell tower, that can be. All right. Let me stress this. I don't believe it's the mark of the beast yet. He said, but acknowledged he could be wrong. So he doesn't know if the vaccines or the vaccine mandates are the mark of the beast yet, but he could be wrong. Now, do you see what you're doing? You're placing complete panic and fear in the hearts of many Christians. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to get, if this could be the mark of the beast, I don't want to get it. I mean, he could be wrong. Why would Christians do that? You see how irresponsible that is? Look, you've got to have some serious theological proof and biblical exegesis that says that somehow the vaccines are connected to the mark of the beast. All right. And then he's going to go on to say here. He throws out the natural immunity. All the Christians are running out to the natural immunity. And then he goes on to say this. Where is it? Because I everyone runs to this. Let's see here. The article goes on. I think at some point he mentioned Hitler and the Nazis because, you know, you can't do anything without throwing that in. So he says that Jesus would get the vaccine are manipulative. The artist said, adding that scripture says that Jesus healed everyone that he came in contact with. So I don't know. Are we supposed to heal everyone that comes in contact here? Let's see here. Yeah, he talks about the natural immunity. Does he mention Hitler? Let me see if I can find it here. It may have been a different article. Let me see here. I'm looking. Oh, here we go. History, Gokey added, proves that people should ask questions. He used Hitler as an example of using harsh terminology that turned the hearts of many against the Jews that ended up costing 6 million Jewish lives. Now, I've seen a lot of that trying to compare the vaccine to the Nazi Holocaust. Let me make sure we understand this. The vaccine was designed to try to save lives. Whether you agree it's going to work or don't going to work, that's what it's designed to do, unless you believe it's some great. Now, you could go Alex Jones, where he's yelling and screaming that the vaccine is killing millions and millions of people. I guess we could do that, or you could just try to be reasonable and go, wait a minute. The vaccine was designed to try to save life, and Hitler was trying to exterminate an entire race of people. I think you can try to see that there is a difference there, maybe. So there you have it. Another Christian celebrity, another Christian coming out, trying to ultimately, whether they attempt to do it or not, they end up offering all kinds of medical advice. And raises serious questions about why you possibly don't want to get the vaccine. You don't want to follow through the mandate because you're going to end up with the mark of the beast. You're going to end up Hitler. Who knows what you're going to end up? You're going to end up dead. Who knows? And again, I question, should they be doing that? So why are so many Christians wanting to play doctor? Just remember that people that if you decide not to trust the medical community, that's the community you're going to run to. And we've got to measure our distrust of sources. We've got to measure it with some balance, because if we don't, we're going to end up on an island on our own, doing what is right on our own eyes. And remember, you're trusting someone. You're trusting someone. It's just a question of who you're going to trust. I may not trust my doctor in everything, but I should at least consider her advice, considering that's who I'm going to go to when things go wrong. If I get horribly sick, I'm going to be making an appointment with my doctor. And if I don't make an appointment when I get horribly sick, when I get critically ill where I'm going to die, I'm going to end up in the hospital and my doctor is going to be the one called to try to save my life. So that has to be considered in all of this. It's not the topic I wanted to talk about, but hopefully I can offer some kind of balance there. Look, I know people listening. I know you have concerns. I understand it. I understand you may not be a fan of the mandate. I understand. I'm not trying to argue for or against. I'm saying that we have to listen to the best medical advice we can and make the best decisions we can, being medically informed, not only for ourselves. And I cannot stress this enough. In a public health crisis, it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about others. And that has to be taken into consideration. Sometimes that produces rules that are restrictive, like you can't smoke in certain areas. Why? For the public health. You can't do certain things. Why? For public health. I'm not saying that that's always the best or always the right. I'm just saying that's the reality of the world in which we live. And that's the way it will be moved forward with the COVID situation. You need to pay attention about what's going on in your area, the community spread in your area. You need to be checking numbers. And please make sure you're checking with your medical professionals, your doctors, and getting the best advice you can, determine based off your health, based off what they know about your health history, and based off what they think is best for you. And if you decide not to listen to them, that's fine. That's on you. Just don't get your advice from non-medical professionals, and especially from the latest Christian celebrity or some Christian pastor or from a Christian podcaster or from anybody. Make the best informed decision with the best medical information possible. In the medical world, we refer to it as informed consent. Informed consent. Don't just get someone to consent to a medical procedure. They need to have, they need to be informed to know what they need to know the risk involved. Hey, this is a surgical procedure I think you need to do. However, here are the risks associated with it. You need to have informed consent. That's a big thing in the medical world. Because if the patient does not have informed consent, they cannot make a decision with the right information. And it's assumed that the medical provider should have the correct information that they need to give over to the patient. And sometimes I've seen doctors not do a very good job of giving correct information. And I almost want to scream, telling the patient, ask more questions. Make sure you understand everything here. Are you sure you understand everything? So patients do have to be advocates for their own health care. I completely agree. All right. That took a lot more time than I wanted, but it's in the Christian Post, so I felt like I had to talk about it. There you have it. And I know I'm going to get blasted by everyone. I'm just trying to make us think about this logically. I mean, when you're dealing with your health care, you're dealing with such a serious issue. So, all right, I'll stop. Oh, yeah. Now, Will just said it's a difficult decision. Oh, man. Yeah. It's a very difficult decision to make for your kids. I 1,000%. My kids are grown now. I don't know what I would do. I mean, right now, we don't have vaccines for anyone under the age of 12. So I'll just end with this. My daughter, she was really worried about the community spread of COVID. And in Texas, the schools cannot implement a mask policy. No social distancing. They can't do anything because the governor basically banned all of that. So my daughter was like, oh, no, 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 no. Landon and Liam, her kids, they, no way. I don't want them in school. They can't wear a mask. I don't want this. You know, there's no vaccine. And so she didn't know what to do. So she decided, and my wife is homeschooling them this year. We built basically designed an entire classroom for them and got the curriculum, and it's going really well so far, but she had to make a decision. I don't think, and she is very pro the vaccine and she got the vaccine. But I think if they get a vaccine approved for her children, she's going to be hesitant. I know this. I definitely recommend. Like I said, check with your medical provider. I will say this because I don't want to recommend anything. I would say this. I definitely can understand wanting to wait for anybody, to see. And now, I mean, if you look at the how many millions of people have gotten the COVID vaccine now as adults, I mean, the numbers are in the millions upon millions upon millions. But when the vaccine is approved for, say, kids under 12, I can understand wanting to wait and going, whoa, I'm going to see how this all plays out. You know, I'm going to be a little nervous. So I can definitely do that. That's a hard decision. That's a hard decision, because do you want to get your kid a vaccine and then something goes wrong and you feel responsible at the same time? Do you not want your kid to get a vaccine? They basically now spread it to someone else and then someone else dies. I mean, the whole thing is just so many difficult questions about COVID. I being a parent with young kids right now, you're trying to keep them safe. You're trying to figure out what to do. The Delta variant's going after younger and younger children. They can be carriers of it, even though they're asymptomatic. So many issues pertaining to children right now and the Delta variant that it is insane right now. And every parent, that's parents have to make very tough decisions right there. And you know, hopefully you've got a good pediatrician if your children are young, or a good doctor, and, you know, express those concerns. And, you know, you may wait. Yeah, those are decisions. And I do agree that parents and individuals have to make the best decisions for themselves. I do agree with that. And I do want people to have as much freedom as they can. I'm I'm more libertarian in my politics. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. If you're going to label me anything from a political standpoint, I'm far more libertarian typically than anything else. So, I mean, I hate politics, period. So typically I'm just a Christian. I don't like a political affiliation, but if someone's going to try to affiliate me with something, I'm typically more there. I like freedom. I do. But I also understand public health crises. That's when the freedom question. How do you balance freedom with the same time of protecting everyone around you? It would be wonderful if you got COVID, and that's fine. You got COVID, you dealt with it. You either got sick, you got better, you got worse, you died, and it's a decision you make for yourself, and it doesn't impact anyone around you. Man, then by all means, you should have the freedom. Like, I don't understand why I can't choose to wear a seatbelt or don't wear a seatbelt. Because if I go through the windshield, I'm not hurting anybody else other than myself. But I'm told I have to wear a seatbelt. I think that's restrictive. I don't like that. People should have that choice. Now, a child in the back seat, I think, should be told to wear a seatbelt because they cannot make that decision for themselves. Right? So I do wish that there was more freedom in a lot of areas, but I also know public health. If I get COVID and I go give it to someone else, they didn't get a chance to make that decision. They didn't. They were given it. They were exposed by someone else. That's not their fault. They were exposed by someone else. So that's why we're in this together. And that raises all the questions about what is my am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, look at how that story played out in the Bible. I think the implication was, yes, you are. I love your neighbor. We've got to at least consider, what is my responsibility to other people? What is my responsibility? What can I do to try to limit the chance that I would ever give and be the reason someone else got COVID? What could I do to ensure that I'm not the human being responsible for spreading COVID to some other individual who doesn't want it, trying to protect themselves? They get it. They get sick and die. And when it comes to my children, what is my responsibility to ensure that they, one, don't get sick and die? Because you want to protect them, and two, that they don't become a carrier and give it to someone else. These are tough, tough questions that we have to ask, and that's why we have to at least consider the medical advice of our doctors who know your children's health, know their history. At least they have access to it in the medical records. They probably don't remember it, but you get the idea. Then you can take a look at it, and then they can make the decision. And then you can take that information and make the best decision. Just be careful where you're getting your information, and be careful acting like that you've got it all figured out. All right, I got to stop. We're at 1 hour and 22 minutes, for crying out loud. I spent way too much time on this, way too much time. But there we have it. Now I just got to live with the consequences. All right, newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com. I may try to do one more quick broadcast because the plan was to be at home at 12 o'clock for the college football kickoff, all the games. So I want to watch some college football today. I know that's not very spiritual, but I'm just being honest with you. That's the reason I got here in the morning time, because that's what I want to do. So and then we got UFC fight night tonight, too. So, yeah, so there's things I want to do, but I at least wanted to at least have this conversation. So there you have it. And again, don't get mad at me. Don't send me emails trying to prove something to me, because all I'm saying is I'm trying to give some practical directions. And I'm not giving you any medical advice, because that's what doctors are for. The very doctors who you'll run to when it all goes horribly wrong. That is the main emphasis I've tried to get across today. All right. Thanks for listening. God bless.